Well, good evening.
How y'all doing?
Hey, man. I didn't know if I was gonna be here tonight. I didn't know if I was gonna make it. I don't know if y'all remember a while back. I had about 8 checks in my wallet, and somebody did me a favor and washed my clothes, and they washed my checks. You remember that? She stopped by and did me a favor and threw my clothes in there and just threw my wallet in there. And yesterday she sold a piece of restaurant equipment and she wasn't there, so I went there and made the transaction and I got the check for the equipment. And so tonight I went to find my wallet and I washed it, and I washed the check that she had. So I didn't know if I was going to make it here tonight. She reminded me, though, that she handled a lot better than I did. It's truly laundered money, right? The thing is, the lady lives in Smithville. So praise God, huh? You would have what, Brandon? Yeah. Amen. 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 There's a story in the book of John, chapter 5, about a man that was laying by a pool, and the Bible says that once a year an angel will stir the waters, and the first one to get in the pool would be healed. And Jesus come up on the scene, and the man had been there 38 years. 38 years this man been stuck in this situation. And it says, Jesus, knowing that he'd been there 38 years, he said to the man, "Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole?" The modern translations say, "Do you want to be made well?" And it really takes away from the true meaning of what it's saying. And he asked the man, "Do you want to be made whole?" Sometimes we can be well, but not whole. And the question I have for y'all tonight is, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be whole, made whole? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're talking about, how do I get made whole? See, because God wants all of me. He don't want some of me. God wants all of me. He wants my spirit. He wants my soul. And he wants my body. Whether we know it or not, we serve a triune God. We serve a God that's three in one. He's the Father, he's the Son, and he is the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they're three in one. Well, we're made in the image of God. So we're triune beings, whether we realize it or not. We're really a spiritual being who possesses a soul and lives in a body. Amen? Because we're made in the image of God. And if God's three in one, God's going to make us to be three in one. Amen? Because we're made in his image. So tonight I want to talk about that. I want to talk about being made whole. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Thessalonians. I'm just going to talk about two scriptures tonight. Thessalonians. Well, don't turn to your Bible. Look on the screen. I still like my Bible. I don't know. I have a hard time reading the Bible off the phone. I don't know why, but I do. Let me read it. It says, verse 23 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you, he is faithful, and he will do it." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for everything you do. God, we thank you for your truths that are in your word. God, we thank you that you are the God of peace. God, we thank you that you sanctify us. You set us apart, Lord God. And Lord, I know that you want us to be whole. I know you want to heal our spiritual side of us. You want to heal our spirit. Lord God, you want to heal our soul, Lord God. And you want our actions to be actions that represent you, Jesus. So, Lord God, I pray tonight you teach us. Lord God, teach us these truths, Lord God, the truths that you gave me. Father God, Lord, you're welcome here. God, you're welcome in this place right now. Lord, we need you. We need your presence tonight. God, we need you. I know we don't have much to offer to you, God. But whatever we do have, we give it to you, God. We just lift our hands to you, Lord God. And Lord, I just welcome your sweet presence is here right now, God. I thank you for your presence is in this place. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to have your way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Paul, this is probably one of the greatest benedictions in the Bible right here, in Paul's letters. And it's just two short verses. It's a benediction that Paul's praying, and he starts off by saying, may the God of peace. And I can just stop right there and just preach on that right there. The God of peace. I don't know about anybody here needs some peace today? Anybody need some peace? Anybody a little stressed out today? Got a lot on your mind, a lot on your plate? And just think of what he said. I'm the God of peace. Matter of fact, he says he will give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. And it will guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. He tells us that. Man, the God of peace. You know what? One of the greatest things, I never forget. When I was in my addiction, man, I just wanted everything up here to be cool. I just wanted some peace of mind. I just wanted some peace. And I was looking everywhere else to find this peace except the one that was the God of peace. I was looking everywhere else. I tried everything just to get this to calm down a little bit. And the very one that says, I am the God of peace, I didn't turn to. But I'm going to tell you something. When I truly turned to him with all my being, some peace invaded my life that I never experienced before. And you know what? Now everything's good up here. Some days. But it's a lot better than it used to be, amen? I mean, I ain't saying it's all great, but it's a lot better than it used to be, amen? And that's what we need, the God of peace. Next time we're going through something, we got to remember who he is. He's the God of peace. Y'all remember when we were in a boat and all the waves and everything was going crazy? And they woke up and they said, man, don't you care that we're going to drown? And Jesus looked at the waves and he said these words, peace, be still. And it says, and the waves and the winds calm down. If he can calm down the waves and the winds, he can calm down any storm in our life if we let him. We just got to be willing to let him. Can I get an amen? That's one, Jacob. Todd, that's one. Seven. Amen. That's eight. Man. So he started off with saying, may the God in peace sanctify you completely. You know, the word sanctified, we talked about it the other night, but it means to be made holy or to be set apart. And he says in these scriptures, he said, may the God of peace sanctify you completely. So your whole spirit, soul, and body are preserved blameless into the day of Christ Jesus. So I want to talk about our three-part being, how we're a spirit, how we're a soul, and how we're a body. And how does God sanctify all three parts of us? You know, in the beginning in the garden, when God created man, he took man from the dust of the ground, went like this with the man, went like this, and he went, whew. And it says he blew the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul. You know, God, what God did, God gave man physical life, but more importantly, God gave man spiritual life. God blew himself into man. He actually blew his life. Jesus says in him was life, and that life is the light of man. But he blew himself into man, and man became spiritually alive on the inside. Well, then we know what happened. We know the story. God sent a woman. I'm just joking. Baby, I am joking. But we know the story. He told him of every tree in his garden you can eat freely. But the tree of the knowledge and evil, don't eat of it. Least you eat in that day, you will die. You ever thought about that? Why he told him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? See, when God made creation, everything God made was good. There was nothing bad. It was all good. In heaven, there will be nothing that's bad. Everything will be good. God didn't, man didn't know what evil was. Man just knew good. And God didn't want man to know what evil was. That's why he told him, don't eat it. In that day, if you eat, you will die. So we know what happened. Serpent deceived the woman. The man got weak to the woman. He took it from the woman and ate, and they died. But they didn't physically die. They spiritually died. And then we know they were hidden from, they were hiding in the garden. God came looking to him. He says, Adam, where art thou? And Adam says, I was afraid. I was naked and I was ashamed. And then God does something. God banishes them from the garden. And then he takes a cherubim and he puts it at the entrance of the garden with flaming swords. So just like this. So there's just flames so they can't enter back into the garden. And you know what was in the middle of the garden? The tree of life. The tree of life. They were cut off from the life of God because of their sin. And every man after that is born cut off from God. Some of y'all are looking at me crazy, so I'm going to go to the Word of God, and I'm going to read the Word of God to you and see what it says. Romans 5:12 says this, just as sin entered the world through one man, talking about Adam, and death through sin, and this way death came to all men because all sinned. In other words, we got charged with Adam's crime. But you know what the good news is? We get credit for what Jesus did. Amen. Even though spiritual death set in when Adam sinned and we're all born spiritually separated from God, really the word death in the Bible just means separation. There's three types of death in the Bible. There's physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. If we're spiritually dead, that means we are separated from God. If we physically die, that means we separate from our body. If we have eternal death, that means we are forever separated from God in the everlasting lake of fire. But death spread to all men. We are born D-O-A, dead on arrival. When we are born, our spirit is dead on the inside. But I got good news for you. Jesus came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. The very thing that Adam lost, Jesus came to give us back. So what happens is this. Those of us, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God places his life back inside of us through his Spirit. And we see that in John 20. Jesus gives us a picture of that in John chapter 20. When the disciples, Jesus had been crucified, the disciples were scared because they thought they were next. So they were in the room hiding on the first day of the week. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes and he walks through the door. He just walks right through the door. And he shows up on the scene and he shows them his hands. And then he looks at him and he says, does something amazing. He goes like this. And he breathes back on them and he says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. You know what he did? When they saw the risen Christ and they believed in the risen Christ, God blew back into them the breath that was lost in the garden. The very breath that was lost in the garden. When God made man, what did God do? He took him from the dust of the ground, and he blew into man, and man became a living soul. And then after Jesus went to the cross, and they seen the risen Christ, and they believed in the risen Christ, God took that same breath that he blew in Adam, and he blew it back in them. And that's what happens to us when we believe in the risen Christ. When we believe in the risen Christ, and we say, Lord, I believe in you, God blows back into us what was lost in the garden, and his spirit gives birth to our spirit, and we become spiritually alive. We call it being what? Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus told him, unless a man is what? Born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Or I can't enter into where the king is and the king's rulership is set up unless I'm born again, because I'm separated from God until God gives me new birth. So God wants to sanctify my spirit. He wants to live inside of me. So God's spirit gives birth to our spirit. And we become spiritually alive. I looked up Sunday earlier, and I'm probably really going to mess this up when I say this. But Titus chapter 3, verse 5, listen to what this says. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Hello? Whose ringtone is that? Look, of all people, it's blues. Blue, that would drive me crazy. Well, we got an awesome church, don't we? We love you, Blue. Hey, so Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says this. At one time, you too were foolish, deceived, disobedient, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Hello, somebody. We lived in malice and envy and hated one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of anything we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. I looked up this word regeneration, and it's, y'all ready? You want me to spell it to you? You want me to try to pronounce it? Palingenesia. All right? Palingenesai. All right? And it means something really. If somebody's school, where's our school teachers at? But what the word means, the first part of the word poly means again. Genesia or Genesis means birth. God saves us by giving us new birth through his spirit. God wants to possess our spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, in the beginning, God dwelt in the garden, dwelt with man. And then man was kicked out, and God's always wanted to dwell among his people. So God had him build a tabernacle, and God would dwell in the tabernacle. Now, God is omnipresent, which means God is everywhere at one time. But God also manifests his presence in certain places and makes his presence known. So in the Old Testament, God would manifest his presence in the tabernacle in the most holy place. And then Jesus came on the scene and God manifested his presence inside Jesus because Jesus is God. Now God, in the New Testament believers, the tabernacle of God is us. The Bible says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that God's Spirit dwells in you? We are the tabernacle of God. We are the place where God lives. That might be, you might be saying, man, God can't live in me. Well, yeah, God can live in you, and God does live in you if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. that God possesses your spirit. We are the tabernacle of God is inside of us. And God lives in us. And it's pure and it's holy and it's sanctified because God is in there. Well, Brother Eric, if God lives in me, why do I think the way I think? And why do I talk the way I talk? And why do I do what I do sometimes? Because the other two parts of us are under construction still. Amen? See, I had this misconception when I first got saved. Someone told me this. Brother, come down here and accept Jesus, and your life will never be the same. And I came down and I accepted Jesus and went back to the dorm and did exactly what I did before I came down there and accepted Jesus. And I couldn't understand why. So every week when they'd make an altar call, I'd go down and do it again because I didn't get it right the first time. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Because I didn't realize what it was my spirit was born again, but my soul still had to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So the second part of us that God wants to sanctify is our soul. Our spirit is born again. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, God lives inside of you, and you have been set apart by God. God is in you. Whether you realize it or not, God is in you. But our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, have got to be transformed and sanctified by God Himself. The Bible says this, that we are actually transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God. You know, we got some cute puppies. They're here somewhere. Thank y'all for babysitting. Man, it's 2 hours away from them. Thank y'all very much. I appreciate it. Y'all can keep them overnight if you want. I'll bring the cage to your house. But seriously, you know what? Them puppies, they're getting bigger. Y'all notice that? They're getting bigger. You know why? You know why they're getting bigger? Because they're eating. Them dogs can eat. We had like a bag of food this big and it's already down to there. I'm like, how do these little dogs eat all that? But you know what? They got to eat to grow. Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, desire the pure milk of the word so that you can grow. You know, in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul, when he writes it, he says these words. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, when I first got saved, I was a baby. And I didn't know how, I still thought the way I used to think. So I thought the way I used to think, so I did what I used to do. And I didn't realize that the transformation of my mind was a process. And that my part was this. My part was I needed to get around some people and start to hear some different things and read some different things. I didn't have the power to change myself. The transformation comes from God. But I've got to take the time to get into His Word and let His Word start to wash away my bad thinking. And that's a process. I'm going to say something. Some of us are walking around still believing what our mom and dad told us about ourselves. I'll never forget, I had this friend of mine in school. I ain't going to say her name. She was beautiful. She was Missouri County beauty pageant queen. She had a car wreck. And she got a little bitty scar on her head. I mean, a little bitty bump. And I was joking with her one day, and I said, "What's up, Scarface? I was just playing. I was young. I was stupid, right?" Just God's honest truth. 30 years later, I ran into her. She goes, "Eric Indian, I've been mad at you for 30 years. I said, "What'd I do?" She goes, "Every time I look in the mirror, I hear your voice say Scarface." Well, I dropped to my knees and said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." But that belief stuck in her. And some of us are walking around with beliefs been stuck in us for years. And we're believing what somebody else said, and we're not believing what God said. And one thing I know, the Creator is the only one that has the right to define His creation. He is the only one that has the right to define His creation. So I have to make a choice. What am I going to believe? Am I going to believe what this mind tells me, or I'm going to believe what God tells me? You know, the Bible says that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. And it's true. But I'm going to tell you something. When God's thoughts start to become my thoughts, guess what? God's ways start to become my ways. Jesus said, let this mind, Paul said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, he also said in Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make that up. The Bible says that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. It says we have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit and we have the Word. So my job is to let God get inside this mind of mine by taking this Word and humbly accepting it and planting the Word inside me and leaving the growth up to God. God wants to possess my thinking. Man, I don't know about y'all, but that's good news for me, because I got some bad thinking. What do they call that in recovery? Some stinking thinking. Some stinking thinking, huh? Say that again, Brittany. Man, but God wants us. Man. Next thing God wants to sanctify. My soul's made up of three parts. My mind, my will, and my emotions. God wants my will. God wants my will. What is my will? My will is my power of choice. What I choose to do. God wants me to choose it His way. I think Jesus said it best in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. We cite it all the time in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying it all the time. God, let your will come. Let your will come, God. Let your way come, God. God wants to sanctify our will so our will is His will. One thing I realize, when I do it God's way, guess what? It always turns out good. It always turns out good. Listen to what he says in the Bible. I'm going to read this to you real quick. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says these words. I can quote it to you, but I'm going to just read it to you. Philippians 2:13 says this. Therefore, dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my absence, much more in my presence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now listen to the next verse. For it's God who works in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So in other words, another translation says, it's God who works in you both to will and to do. In other words, God is working in me and giving me the power and the desire to do it His way. It's just up to me to crucify my own will and do it God's way. That's what Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. He that saves his life will lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake will find it. Say, man, do it my way. Listen to what he told them in Deuteronomy. This is all the way back. This is old school scripture here. Listen to this. I'm going old school now. Listen to this scripture. God reminded me of this today. This is what he says, Deuteronomy 30:19. He says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. I've set before you life or death, blessings or cursings. And then he turns around and he says, now choose life. And he tells you why. Listen to why. So that you and your children may live, and you may love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, and with all thy soul. He says, I set before you these options, but I'm encouraging you to choose to do it my way. God's way is always the best way. See, I know I've shared this with y'all, but I used to think if I did it God's way, I'd be missing out on something. I don't want to be a square. One of church folk. I did. I always thought I was missing out if I did it God's way. But the thing is, I was so deceived. It was unreal. The devil had me so bamboozled. It was unreal. Once I realized and I started to do it God's way, I found what I was looking for all along. I did. When I started doing it God's way, I realized, man, this is what I've been looking for all along. I get high and don't even have to put no drugs in my body. Y'all looking at me crazy, but what I meant by that is I get peace, and I'm happy, and I'm joyous, and I'm free, and I feel like I got a purpose and a meaning in life. I'm experiencing love, which is the greatest of them all. You know how good it is to come and give George and Jimmy a hug? I'm serious. There's nothing better than that. You know why? Because the love in me and the love in him. Man, come on. When we do it God's way, it always works out. God wants our will. Next thing God wants to sanctify, and everybody say, ouch. Y'all didn't say it like you mean, say, ouch. God wants our emotions. God wants our emotions. Listen to what the scripture says. Ephesians chapter 4. Jesus chapter 4. Man, this hurt me today when I read this. Ephesians chapter 4 says, therefore, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. Hello, somebody. Hello, some. Get rid of it. How do I get rid of that when I'm just an angry person? How do I get rid of it? You're telling me, God, to get rid of this stuff. How do I get rid of it? Nobody's ever told me how to get rid of it. He's told me to get rid of it. Are y'all the only one? Am I the only one? Come on, man. How do I get rid of that stuff? Can I get a witness? Amen. How do I get rid of it? I didn't put it there, but it's there. How do I get rid of it? Exactly. Exactly. You know what our job is? To admit that I got it. God, I got this. God, I'm angry. God, I'm jealous. God, I'm envious. God, I know what I got right now is not of you. And I don't want it no more, God. And you said, God, in your word, that you would sanctify me completely. Matter of fact, in this verse, you said, faithful is he who called me, that he'll do it. God, you said you would heal me. You would take this from me, God. And it's in me, and I don't want it no more. And God will go to work. But one thing I realize is as long as I want to hold on to it, God will let me keep it. I got to be willing to let it go. Y'all know the story of the monkey? Y'all know the story of the monkey? Y'all know how to catch a monkey? You know how to catch a monkey? No. They put something inside this little contraption, and the monkey sticks his hand in there. And grabs it. And he's got his hand around it. And he won't let it go. So he can't pull his hand out. If he just let it go, he could pull his hand back out and get free. But he won't let it go. So he stays trapped. Isn't that how we are? We just want to hold on. I can't let go of that. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what she said. But you know what? When we do that, we're not letting God sanctify our emotions. See what God says he wants to do? The fruit of the Spirit? There's nine of them. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. God wants to implant those things inside of us. He wants our emotions. There's nothing greater than being at peace, isn't there? The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's awesome. But we got to be willing to let go of the other and let God fill us with his fruits and his spirits and his emotions. Can I get a witness? Y'all awake? Y'all awake out here? Okay, I just wonder if y'all still, you awake back there, Brad? Can I put you to sleep yet? I was going to say something stupid. I'm not going to. Okay. So God wants our mind. He wants our spirit. He wants our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And last but least, God wants our body. God wants our body. Amen? The Bible says that we are the temple of God. Amen? In other words, God wants us to walk and talk like Jesus. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God is constantly sanctifying or transforming us into the image of Christ. The word image there means character. In other words, God, when people see us, they should see something different in us. They should see Jesus in us. Now, I know they don't see Jesus all the time, but there should be some glimpses of Jesus every now and then. Amen? Come on, I ain't there yet neither. I ain't saying I am. But they should see some glimpses of Jesus in us. Because God is sanctifying us. He is setting apart our actions. There's a scripture I wrote down I want to read before I close. See, the inward work of God. God's Spirit living inside of us, doing his work. You know the scripture in Ephesians that says this, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or imagine. Y'all read that scripture? The last part of it says this, how God does what is exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us. In other words, God says, I can do more in your life and through your life than you could ever ask or you could ever imagine. That's what he says. I just need you to yield to it. I need you to yield to it. I want to live in you, but I not only want to live in you, I want to live through you. I want your actions. When people see you, I want them to see me. I want to possess your body. God's body. When God came to earth in the form of Jesus and God became flesh and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, guess what happened to that body? That body went on that cross and died for you. And then was buried and then walked around earth for 40 days and after 40 days was resurrected into heaven. And that glorified, resurrected body right now is in heaven sitting at the right hand of God representing and interceding for us right now. So God needs a body to live in and live through here on earth. And God wants our body to be that body. Danny, God wants to live through you, Danny. How many of y'all are willing to let God live through you? Say, I'm here, God. You can have me, Bob. Paul said it the best. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I died with Christ. Now I'm going to let Christ live through me. Man, what an honor to think that God would choose people like us to live in and live through. I wouldn't have picked y'all. I would have, don't get wrong. I wouldn't have picked myself, that's for sure, but Golly, I try not to. But seriously, man, God wants to do a work in us. Those who've been born again, God already possesses your spirit. God already lives inside you. Now he just wants to transform your soul. He wants to renew your thought patterns and your beliefs through his word. Check this out. If my thoughts change, my feelings change. If my feelings change, my actions change. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I want to get new every day. I know I'm getting older. I face that reality every day when I look in the mirror. But I want to get newer on the inside every day. I want to grow on the inside. When y'all attend my funeral or my celebration of life, I want you to say, he might not have started out good, but he finished well. I want God to live through me and to bless other people. And that's what God wants to do with everybody in this room. God wants to live in you and live through you. I want to read verse 24 in closing. Verse 23 says, now may the God of peace sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the Christ day of Christ Jesus. You know what verse 24 says? Now listen to this. It says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. God will do it. We just got to be willing to say, okay, God, I'm all yours. I'm all in, God. I'm all in this time. I'm all in. I'm all in, God. I want what you talk about, what these people talk about. I'm all in, God. You said you do the work, God. That takes the pressure off me. Because I'm going to tell you something. If I could change myself, I would have done it a long time ago. Seriously. I didn't want to spend 20 years locked up. I just didn't have the power to change myself. And I kept trying to change myself. And the power wasn't there. God, I don't have the power to renew my mind. Your word and your spirit do, though. My job is to get into the Word and let God's Spirit do its work. Can I get an amen? That's better. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you tonight. God, we thank you that you want to sanctify us, Lord God. That you want to set us apart from this world. Matter of fact, you said we'd be a light in this world. I know that light, that your spirit gives light to our spirit. Lord God, I pray you shine through each of us individually. When people see us, they would know there's something different about us. And that we could tell them about you. Man, Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing. I pray for hunger and thirst for you, for everybody in this room, especially myself. I pray you place a hunger and a thirst in each one of us for you, God. I pray hunger and thirst for you. Jesus, you said you're the living water that quenches all thirst. And you said you're the bread of life that satisfies all hunger. So I pray you give us a desire for you, and then you fill us with you. God, we thank you for this. Pray for anybody in here tonight that's struggling, that needs a miracle, needs you to do something special in their life. I pray you reach down and touch them tonight, Lord God. And Father God, we thank you for this. We thank you for everything you do, God. You're an amazing, amazing God. And we thank you for it. And Father God, we just worship you. And the church agree by saying, amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all.